Yo, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? You know what time it is. It's time for another episode of Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie. Hold up 1 second. You know what? I really need that sip because my throat, like, my voice is still kind of barely coming back.
Hot.
Yeah, especially from Friday.
Yeah,
you know, Friday did a benefit show for our buddy MAG. You know what? If you guys want to donate to MAG, by the way.
Absolutely.
Hit me up, man. He really needs some help with some medical expenses, unforeseen medical expenses. And he's been on our show a bunch of times.
He's actually created, he's the one who created our Sip and Tea logo as well.
That's
and
right.
So he's been around in our lives for decades and decades.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I can post it when we announce this episode too of his Venmo if you want to donate and whatever it is.
For
if you've
sure.
seen him on his 12 Rounds podcast and other episodes that we're featured on, the impact that he does on people every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when it comes to helping others, that was a perfect opportunity on Friday with that benefit concert, was everyone who's he impacted in some way and somehow.
Most definitely.
Got to perform, got to do this thing together and stuff. But
yeah,
it was funny because at this benefit concert, there was no water at the time of your performance. And so.
Well, it's because the venue has been closed and it's in it. And one of my buddies owns it. And she's like, yeah, we could use it for a, you know, special event. And so that's what we did. So we basically had a, you know, have all the drinks and stuff, and we failed to get water.
Yep,
so.
Failed. But when you have men planning an event, they don't think of water.
And we did it at the last minute, so you know what I mean? But hey, man, for real, shout outs to everybody, especially Eric Salinas.
Yes.
You know, Puppet Master La Green Eyes for helping us with the King Legend event center, you know, helping us, letting us use it, and just helping us organize it. I mean, Navarro was there, AG, we had Mike Ill, Skilly Waves. It was just fun. It was an amazing event. So thank you everyone who came out, man. I really appreciate it. But we do got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
Absolutely.
I mean, we got to talk about some new trailers. We also got to talk about some new tracks.
Yeah.
You know, some new music that I really want to showcase. You know, some good stuff that I heard. And I was like, recently, I was like, ooh, we got to show this stuff. There's some old school stuff. You know, stuff that that's been out, but I want to show you.
Yeah.
But some new stuff that I want to show you as well.
Yeah.
And I do got to talk about this real quick, though, before we get into, you know, the Fly Me to the Moon, because we need to talk about that.
Fly Me to the Moon.
We need to talk about Trap, the new Josh Harnett movie, M. Night Shyamalan, together.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that because I just dropped.
Yeah.
Not too long ago.
That one, also Transformers 1.
Yes, correct.
That one looks cool. There's some really cool voices, like Liam Hemsworth, right? He's one of them.
Yes.
Thor, right? That's his name.
Not Liam's, Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth,
He's Thor, yeah.
All right, so we're going to get into that, but we do got to talk about this fight, right? Mm-hmm. Ryan Garcia fought, we're recording this on Sunday, so he fought last night.
Yes.
You know, let's just say he fought this weekend, and he fought Devin Haney. Everyone was talking smack about Ryan Garcia, how Ryan Garcia was going to get knocked out, how he wasn't going to come out of the corner, blah, 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 blah. And I'm telling you right now, I was like, look, this dude knows what is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
This dude knows all the smack talking, all the trolling he's been doing. He's going to go in there with a game plan this time. He did. There was only one thing I didn't like. He was doing this weird role where he kept just kind of turning his back on Devin Haney, and it was just super annoying. And but yeah, man, he really controlled the fight. He knocked this dude down three times.
Yeah.
Three times. And the fight wasn't stopped. It could have been stopped, but it wasn't. And every time he would get knocked the heck out, he would come back and be hugging Ryan Garcia the whole time to hold himself up. Now, it's funny because all the commentators, everyone was just talking smack, acting like they knew everything about everything, da-da-da-da. Yeah, he's going to get beat, and then next thing you know, Ryan Garcia reigns supreme. One thing I got to tell you about Ryan Garcia is he should have followed through with those knockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He could have really just taken him out. He could have won by knockout. You know, the reason why he didn't get his belt is because he was overweight.
Oh, really?
So yeah, he went there. If he would have been the weight that he was supposed to be when he went to the weigh-ins, he would have got the belt. He didn't get the belt.
Oh.
So Devin Haney lost the belt, but Ryan Garcia didn't get the belt.
Dang.
Yeah, but he won the fight.
But he won the fight.
He won the fight by unanimous decision. I mean, the dude outclassed him. He beat him pretty good.
Yeah, you're like this.
And I don't think Devin Haney was was expecting what he got from Ryan Garcia. And a lot of people, obviously, were not expecting this Ryan Garcia that came out.
Well, yeah, because especially this particular Ryan Garcia where he's at.
I almost think he's just trolling people.
I think he's using it kind of like, what's his face that's going to be fighting Mike Tyson?
Jake Paul,
yeah. Right? Like when Jake Paul first started out.
It's the angle of promotion now that everybody's using, the whole trolling.
It's a strategy. Like it's a perfect strategy, right? Because you're getting more views, you're getting more interest, right? People, and it's really odd, right? That if you hate someone or you dislike someone, you still try to follow along where they're at, right?
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about it is negativity sells, right? And negativity spreads like wildfire. So people just want to see the downfall of somebody, right?
Yes.
And so if that's why they're following Ryan Garcia, because they're trolling him. And they're like, there's so much people that want to see his downfall, like the jealousy and envy, that they want to see it play out. So I think he's using that, honestly, to his advantage.
Yeah, as a marketing mechanism. Yeah. It's a perfect strategy, right? Like if you find, which is unfortunately things like that, that's what gets the drive of people, then you're going to play off of that. That's the only way to do it, right? Because if you don't do it, who's going to watch the fight? Mm-hmm. And I think nowadays that's what it's all about, is how much smack talking that you can reel in.
It goes back to Muhammad Ali era. Yeah. It goes back to the Macho Camacho era. I mean, it goes back to so many Monumental Piles. All these guys from back in the days, that would just talk smack, and that's what sells a fight. Honestly, you want to see a fight. You want to see there's some beef between them too, because you want to you want to see this play out in the ring, right?
Absolutely.
And so it works out. It makes sense. You know what? Congratulations, Ryan Garcia. I still think the dude is a trip. I'm not standing here saying that the dude is, you know, I'm a fan or anything like that.
Yeah, he's a little wild.
Yeah, he's a little wild. That's for sure. But he did win the fight, and now everybody can just shut up for a bit. You know what
right.
I mean?
Exactly. So Coachella is still happening right now. I think this is the second week. I think they do 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Two weekends of lineups. And, you know, I've never cared like the idea of Coachella. It's never interest me.
I was down there a couple times and I didn't even realize that it was happening until I went down that area. I was like, oh, snap.
You're like, oh, there's this thing.
Coachella's happening.
And, you know, for years, right, like Coachella is one of the biggest things for influencers because this is an opportunity of marketing. This is an opportunity of upselling, you know, brands that you're trying to get with, whatever it is, right? And one thing about Coachella as well is the fashion, but also the unexpected lineups that they do, right? And so this year's Coachella, everyone's kind of like, for the first time of people not caring anymore about Coachella, this is now you should care because of this. Mm-hmm. And they brought some crazy, crazy artists that came out. One of them that I always say that this is one of my bucket lists to do, but Brittany Howard, she came out and performed. And she's performed songs like So High, but she's also a part of the group of Alabama Shakes.
She's so good, too.
I can only imagine her God is voice in a crowd of, you know, thousands of people. Eddie Zuko, who's one of an artist that we follow for quite some time. Yeah, and we got to meet him. He performed as well out there, and seeing his audience, like, it's so awesome to see, you know, artists from where they started to where they're currently still going, and especially for an artist like Eddie Zuko. He has built so much for himself.
Yeah, he's
from
dope,
songs
man.
From Me, Tamales, you know, all these things. And so it was really cool to see that. But of course, we got to talk about the most popular people that collabed, got together. One of them was Lana Del Rey. She brought Billie Eilish out, and it was, you know, Lana Del Rey, I love her voice. I love her voice. It's very calm and soothing. So to have Billie Eilish come out and them to do a duo song together was honestly a perfect collab. They both have naturally angelic voices. So we have like two really soft voices come together. It's really good. But then you also have Peso Pluma that performed. He brought Becky G out, which is very...
I like when they're performed together.
Yes, which is ironic because the year before...
I'm starting to like him. He's growing on me. Well, I didn't like him when he first came out, but I'm starting to like him now.
It is, right? Yeah. And so it was the irony of it, because last year Becky G was the liner, and she actually brought Peso Pluma out. So it was almost like... across pathways, but he also performed with Anita, and he was all up on Anita because he's single now.
Oh, he is?
He's a single man.
I didn't know that, so maybe there was something with him and Anita to begin with.
I'm sorry, but watching the performance, absolutely.
Okay, because
this is what he was holding back on from the last performance.
Yeah. I mean, it's Anita. I mean, gosh, dang.
Yeah, Anita's beautiful.
She's a pretty lady.
She's gorgeous. And then you had Tyler, the Creator. He brought out Childish Gambino, and Childish Gambino know, confirmed he's going back on tour. This is one of his last tours, and he's dropping a new album.
Nice.
So I'm very excited. He says this album is going to be for his OG fans. Mm-hmm. If you've ever followed his earlier music, like Bonfire,
2005.
Yes, yeah. Like it's if you followed even before that, like even before he was like almost like a nasty rapper is what I say, and it's not like a perverted way. It's just like he just would go so hard,
like a shock rapper.
A shock rapper. Okay. That it was like so he's trying to. I think from what he was saying, he's going to bring that back as a final album, which I'm all about it because I love it. And of course, I loved his other albums, you know, like Redbone, things like that. But he came out, Tyler Crater, Abrella, Kelly Uchis. So, of course, they performed. But then you have even like a bigger, you know, thing of you had Olivia Rodrigo with Gwen Stefani and No
Doubt.
That
was pretty cool.
Yep. Which was awesome because I love Olivia Rodrigo. Like, I really love her alternative rock side, but I love her connections of who inspires her.
I wish they
would
have performed the I'm Just a Girl together. That would have been cooler.
I'm just a girl.
Like them together just sounded. Mm-hmm. I think
they did perform it.
No, they performed this other one. I can't remember what it's called.
Because I think they were the ad libs to transition of the song.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the song because honestly, like I loved No Doubt when they first came out, but I don't remember all
their songs.
I just remember some of the hits. You
the
know
hits
what I mean?
Of it. Yeah, so they performed. But then you had. So J Balvin performed, right? He does the songs, whatever it is. He did the song that got featured on the first Bad or the last Bad Boys, the most recent one because they have one coming out, which we really didn't get to talk about that.
No, and
they'll get a good play right here because J Balvin's setup was like a UFO setup. So he was coming out as a UFO. The dancers were dressed up as aliens. He had this whole thing, and then when he's singing the song that was featured on Bad Boys, it kind of takes a break, and all of a sudden you see Will Smith come out full on Men in Black.
It was so cool.
And he's singing the song. You know,
Men in Black.
And the amount of shock that people were excited, even for me too. Like, I would have never thought he would be performing a song that I love so much watching the Men in Black series.
Me too. I love Men in Black. And I love the song. You know what? That song reminds me of Uncle Ralph that passed away because he hated that song. Yeah, that's why it reminds me. He hated the song because he, you know what he didn't like? He didn't like that rappers would use old school jams to do a new song. And he got so mad. He goes, that's stupid. And Men in Black make you forget. Like, stupid. He'd be like, he was so mad. He's like, this is the jam. So you'd always play Forget Me Nots. Forget Me Nots.
Yeah.
You know, trying to remember.
Oh, I love it. I love the breakdown on Men in Black. He's like, let me just see you dance with it. Mm-hmm. And they're dancing. And it was really funny, too, because
Izzy got all excited, too.
Yeah, they finish the song and he brings out the little clicker that does the memory, and then the aliens, air quote aliens, are taking J Balvin and stuff. So that was a super dope setup. I really, really love that a lot. You also had Nelly Furtado that performed, and she actually biffed it when she was performing and like scraped her finger really bad.
I didn't know she was that thick.
Oh my god,
she's thick.
Here's the thing, Nelly Furtado, the last few years, I don't know where she was at in her hiding, and then she came out and she looking like a fine wine right there.
I know, I was like, I don't, wow.
No, that's all people ever talk about is nobody really recalled her looking like that, and you know, she looked like that, and that was fine. You had Renee Rapp, which is a pop artist that is picking up some traffic, right?
Yeah.
Picking up some traffic, but
she's from the Sex Life of College Girls.
Love that show, hilarious. I'm so mad because this new season she's not coming back. They announced that
she got too famous.
Yeah, she got too famous, but she's a very iconic character in the show. Like, I mean, it's based around these college roommates, but Renee Rapp, she came out, performed, did her thing, but she brought out Kesha. Kesha performed her song, and
she changed the Diddy part.
She changed the Diddy part, and she says FP Diddy instead. And so everyone's like, screaming and stuff. So this is really interesting. And then you also had Jacob Noel of Sublime come out and perform too. Mm-hmm. And people were just giving his kudos of him, carrying on his dad's legacy and, to be able to still perform these songs that his dad was so iconic with. Like, that was really awesome. And so this year's Coachella, it was a lot of good performances and a lot of unexpected, guests that they were bringing out. And it brought a lot of traffic, 100%, right? But I always tell people, you can't promise next year is going to be like this either, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was really interesting. But then you also have Comic-Con of course, when Comic-Con season's around, they're always located everywhere, making announcements from here or there. It's always different, right? But a couple of things I wanted to highlight from Comic-Con is that we all know And I don't know if it's something that we discussed before too, but they are making a biopic of Michael Jackson.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be a very lengthy film. They said it's going to be close to 3 hours, 3.5 hours right there, if I remember right.
It's going to be a two-parter? Like, it's going to go to the movie theaters?
Movie theater. Oh, wow. Movie theater. Yeah. Because they're going to capture everything from the time he was born, you know,
from Jackson 5
to everything, to even up until the point of his passing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're going to bring that. So
what's crazy is his nephew is playing him.
Yes. So Jafar Jackson is playing him, which...
Whose son is he?
He is... Oh, my gosh.
Is that Jermaine? Is it Randy?
Oh, my God. That's a good question.
Tito?
I think it's Tito's. Let me see.
Okay, well, either way.
Yeah, either way, whoever the son... Jermaine Jackson.
Jermaine Jackson.
That's who it is.
Jermaine Jackson.
So they have been running Michael's Broadway show for quite some time. But the last go-around, Jafar Jackson actually got to be casted for Michael Jackson's part.
Oh, in the Broadway show?
On the Broadway show.
Oh, okay.
I only was able to see a few clips because, you know, comes to Broadway, they're very... their privacy settings are very strong.
Because they want you to go see it.
But the clips that I saw, and you know, more so behind the scenes of his practicing everything like that, he has the energy of his
embodiment
uncle.
Of
absolutely
Michael Jackson, huh?
Like 100%. The way he carries himself, the dancing, everything. Like, people who were watching the Broadway show said that they were just like so shook up how well he tied into that character. But you know, also too, it helps that he's part of this really impactful family, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure growing up as a kid, he always saw these things, and it's just kind of something that he gets to voice that out and represent his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's casted for this biopic, and I'm very excited for it too. He's actually dropped a few singles recently as well that you can listen to, that is of course like his dad Jermaine Jackson, so you get that feel for sure. But the whole casting for this movie, I mean, they're bringing some artists too that are actors that you're very excited to kind of see play. And so Nia Long is going to play the mom of Michael Jackson.
Oh, snap, really?
She'll be playing, but you have like Miles Teller that's going to be playing John Branca. You have Coleman Domingo, who's Joe Jackson. Domingo, I love Cole Domingo.
Who is he again?
Coleman Domingo.
Coleman Domingo, I'm going to look him up.
He was featured in Euphoria, so he actually was Zendaya's alcohol coach in a sense of.
Oh, okay, I know who he is. Okay, right.
And then he just actually there's a movie that he was going to be in Sing, the one that we kind of talked about.
I've never watched Euphoria, but yeah, I know who this guy is.
He's always been I love his energy. Okay, I love it a lot. But he's going to be Joe Jackson, and then of course you have Nia Long playing the mom as well. But they released the trailer of Michael at Comic Con. You cannot find it anywhere right now. No leaks right now because I've been digging, right? But I got to follow this guy that I follow on TikTok that tends to go to a lot of Comic Cons, and he kind of almost brings like reviews of what he learned and stuff. But he brought up Michael, which I was really excited for because I was like, okay, like whatever he says, like I have really good faith in this critic in a sense. And he said that he got goosebumps of just like, this trailer is so like, almost like impactful, because you're like, holy crap, like the fact of how much work they put into this film, you're going to see it within less than 2 minutes of a trailer, right? Then you have to wait till next year where it comes out. But he said that it's going to really like what it's going to be when it comes out in the movie theater. It's going to be the biggest thing ever in a really long time.
All right.
And of course, right, because Michael Jackson has been an iconic artist for so many decades, right? And so many people, I mean, you will pull up like a Super Bowl performance, right, where he's out there and the audience is just like hovering over him of his performance, like he's just given that energy. And so I'm really excited for it. Like, and the director too, who's put this together, he's been in the works of this script for decades at this point now. And he's really close to the family too, and so I think that to kind of have the connection with the family, whatever it is, like they're going to give you the insight of everything, even, you know, what he was accused of, like all this stuff. And so I think it's going to be great. I also think that for the longest time, there should have been a biopic of Michael Jackson, right? You've had little things like they even did like the Jackson 5 little biopic. Like, what was that? That came out like decades ago, too, as well.
Michael Jackson and American Dream.
Yeah, American Dream right there. And that's a good one. Like, it's a good one of what they did. You know, even highlights when the Pepsi commercial that he was filming. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for it. And from what people are saying, like, it's going to be a film for sure. But when you have Jafar Jackson, who's also played in the Broadway, I wouldn't put it past me that he wouldn't do good.
All right. Well, I'm excited to watch that one.
Well, then they're also announced The Last Ronin. They're going to be making this.
That's going to be crazy. The Last Ronin is a serious version of the Ninja Turtles.
The R-rated version.
Yeah, well, there's a movie called The Last Ronin. It's a Japanese movie, so they do it based on that with the Ninja Turtles using the characters and whatnot. So, I mean, if you're not familiar with this thing, it's basically all the turtles pass away, mm-hmm. except for one, and it happens to be Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And he's the last Ronin. And this is probably going to be a tearjerker. I guarantee you that.
Absolutely.
I mean, to imagine, you know, your favorite turtles passing away, like, no way.
Well, you know, another thing is his brothers, right? Like, none of your brothers are around except you now. Like,
I'm going to be crying like I did on freaking on Iron Claw.
Seriously. But also, too, they announced, too, that Seth Rogen is going to be part of this project.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's
going to
be good.
Which is super cool. And so, yeah, they made a couple announcements, still announcements to come. We're actually having a Comic-Con in the Magic Valley area.
Mm-hmm. Magic Valley Comic-Con.
Magic Valley Comic-Con. If you don't know what that is and you live in this area, make sure you follow them on Instagram.
They just
and
announced
Facebook.
Another actor. This actor was on Spider-Man Homecoming, mm-hmm. Fast 8, Hobbs and Shaw. He was in a bunch of movies. I'll have to show you who he is right there. I just can't remember his name, but he's one of the actors that plays like a bad guy all the time. You know what I mean? So he's gonna be there too. But there's gonna be like a guy from Black Panther's gonna be there. We're gonna have the guy that plays Mateo on Superstore is gonna be there.
Yes.
There's gonna be performances from a lot of people. There's Navarro's gonna be performing there. Hot and Heated, Freedom Renegades. I'm performing. AG is going to perform there. I mean, it's going to be cool. It's going to be a really cool event. Yeah.
It's going to be a thing.
And it's free.
Yeah, and it's free. That's like the best part because, listen, I
get your tickets right now and start flying out to Magic Valley Comic Con in Twin Falls.
I want Comic Con so bad.
August 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, there it is right there. Mm-hmm. And did you know that Hot Ones is collabing currently with Starbucks right now as they're launching spicy lemonades?
Really? Okay.
And right
I'm interested
now,
in this. But also the first thing I think of is buffalo hot sauce, and that doesn't sound appealing at all.
Because this is really big right now in the industry of this collaboration with the Hot Ones, especially because Hot Ones and coffee or Hot Ones and tea, whatever, right? Like you're what kind of combo is that? So they released three flavors of the spicy lemonade refreshers. You have the dragon fruit, pineapple, and strawberry, and each one gets a heat from a combination of spicy chili powder blended with lemonade.
Okay.
They even have, with the spicy dragon fruit lemonade refresher, they incorporate, of course, your mango, your dragon fruit flavors. The spicy pineapple lemonade has pineapple and passion fruit flavors, and it's a little spice. Mm. Now, I think out of all those three, I would do the pineapple. Because, right, we're Mexican, right? So we intricate a lot of the pineapple spice.
Well, yeah, you put tajin, you put chamoy in there
with
the pineapple.
You put all that in there. But
coconut rum.
Of course, it's funny because if you follow Starbucks on Facebook, they're like announcing these, and every comment I've probably seen at least three are like, with a little bit of tequila, this be a good summer drink. But also some people that I've seen reviews for, they said it's disgusting. They're like, it's a big old heartburn. Like,
really?
It's all this stuff. But also too, right, like spicy flavors is a very thin line between what people like, what people don't
that's
like.
That's true, that's true.
But I was very shocked.
Well, yeah, it depends also. Some people make Bloody Mary is way too spicy.
Oh my God, yeah. I've had a spicy Bloody Mary before.
Yeah. And you're like, ooh, this is
just
too much.
It's just not good. You got to get the fine balance.
Mm-hmm.
But with Hot Ones collabing with a company like this, this is definitely very interesting. But I'm also interested to see where they're going to take the lead with the Hot Ones of what their collaboration efforts are going to look like in the future. But if you tried the spicy lemonade, let us know how they are. I'm definitely like, I haven't tried them yet, but if I'm going to try one, it's going to be that spicy pineapple one because it definitely sounds really good.
Heck yeah. And I don't know if you've heard this movie, but there's a trailer that just dropped and it's called Fly Me to the Moon. So don't enter amongst the stars. That's all I know. Da, 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 da. That's all I know. Fly
Jupiter
me to the moon.
In other words, I love you.
Da, 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 that's all we know.
Frank Sinatra. I love a little Frank.
So Fly Me to the Moon stars my girl Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum. And Channing Tatum plays, I believe, Neil Armstrong.
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah,
this
that's
is what
I'm assuming.
Getting.
I haven't really got that yet, but either way, this is about the first landing on the moon, and you know how there's all these conspiracies rolling around that the first landing on the moon was orchestrated and it's fake, and that's where Area 51, where it was, you know, mm-hmm. set up and everything. There's a lot of conspiracies that go like that. Now look, I'm not saying it did happen. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm just telling you like this. It just does seem like they could have orchestrated it. So this movie makes a lot of sense why they put this movie there to confuse you even further by
Absolutely.
Saying, because in this movie, from the gist that we get is that they are creating a plan B just in case they don't make it to the moon.
Just in case things go sideways.
Yes. And so in case they go sideways, they're going to stage the landing on the moon. That's what this movie's about.
But what's even better with this staging, this part, right? They're not staging just the moon. They are staging the astronauts flying out. They are hiring the scientist actors and all this stuff. And that's kind of where you're like, why? Like, because they
it
are,
makes sense,
it
though,
makes
right?
sense, and because it gives you this comedy feel, right? But at the same time, this is capturing one of the most iconic things in the entire U.S. history, right?
Yeah, the first landing on the moon.
The first landing on the moon. And
that's
so,
basically what this was in the midst of the Cold War and everything.
Yes.
So basically, the race to the moon was everything. Mm-hmm. So whoever landed on the moon first had bragging rights. It was going to be crowned king in a sense.
Yep.
So it makes sense that it was orchestrated. I'm just saying. But I'm not saying that it was orchestrated.
But if I was saying. Then this is what I would say.
This is what I would say because it makes sense.
Okay, so, and then Scarlett Johansson is pretty much the marketing PR. So she is in charge of making this a success if things go wrong, mm-hmm. either or. And it creates a lot of tension for people, right? Because you're trying to perfect this one thing, but also in hopes of, in reality, this does work because it would suck for us to go to plan B when mm-hmm. we don't want it to go to plan B. Mm-hmm. Now, how this is going to end, right?
Yeah,
I would love to see that because, you know, they're making this film, but of course it had to been ran by other things. You can't just throw a film out and then start some more conspiracy theories.
And that's what I'm saying. So if I were you, I'd watch the trailer, pull it up, Fly Me to the Moon. It looks really interesting.
Yeah. And it's going to be on Apple Plus TV.
Yeah, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But there is a new movie, too, that dropped. It's a prequel of sorts, and it looks hilarious. The beginning of it was kind of like, okay, what's happening here? But then it just got better and better to the where it got funnier and funnier.
I won't lie. It took me 5 times to watch it. Be like, okay.
Yeah, Transformers 1. So it features the voice of Chris Hemsworth, and I can't remember the other guy that's on there, but he looks trippy. He has like a trippy look now to him.
Oh, the one that's going to be casted with, like his duo character?
Yeah, that was cast with him.
Brian Henry, who plays Megatron.
Okay, yeah.
And Brian Henry is in Atlanta, in case you need like a
that's
connection
right.
to
that's
it.
That's where he's
he
from.
He also was in Eternals 1, or Internals. He's done a lot of roles recently that has now put him in a good spot.
That's right.
Also, on Bullet Train as well.
Yeah, he was good on Bullet Train.
Or our Tangerine.
Tangerine, yeah, he was my favorite on there. Yeah, that's why I was like, he just looks trippy now. Like, it just like, to me, it's like, you know what, we're going to give you this fashion and that's what you're going to roll with. And
that's
he's like, all right, I'm going to do it. You
well,
know?
It's crazy that you brought up Scarlett Johansson because Scarlett Johansson's also in this film as well.
Oh,
so she plays Alita 1.
Yeah.
And you have Keegan-Michael who's playing Bumblebee.
Oh yeah, Bumblebee.
You have John Hamm who's playing Centennial, and you have Lawrence Fishburne who's playing Alpha Tron.
I like what he goes, I'm playing with a name. What should I call myself? But I'm thinking Badassatron.
Yeah.
He goes, only it's going to be Badassatron.
Yeah. yeah, watching this trailer for the first time.
They should have hit me up. I would have done the older, I'm Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know what? You know what's funny? Now that I'm speaking about this?
Yeah.
So there's going to be voice actors that are going to be at Magic Valley Comic Con.
Uh-huh.
And Larissa wants me to introduce that segment of the voice actors.
Oh.
Yeah, because she goes, you got to do the movie voice. Because I was like, yeah, I do movie voice, do all these voices. She's like, no way, do the movie voice. So now I'm like, in a world of voices, two men reign supreme. And then I'm going to do the whole thing.
And then do the whole thing.
And then they'll be like, but anyways, back to the movie.
Yeah, back to the movie. When I watched it, right, because this was part of the Comic-Con announcement, watching this trailer, I thought for a split second it was a Netflix special, and I was like, this is very interesting. I don't know what's going on. But I had to watch it more and more to be like, oh, okay, like, it's pretty much this intro story, right? But at the same time, too, like, we have to keep in mind, we're doing live action for so long that we forgot that Transformers was also a cartoon.
Yeah, it was
in
a cartoon,
sense, right?
Man.
So then the more
that's I
forgot,
how I grew up watching it.
Yeah, so that's when the more I implemented, I was like, okay, like, now I feel more confident in watching this, but it took me a second because I think I was just so stern on the live action piece.
It looks cool, though.
It looks super cool, though.
You know what's
really
cool
funny?
About it is that the Transformers look like the old school Transformers.
Yes.
That's my era. I know I'm old, but that's when I came. That's when I.
But
when
that's your thing, right?
That's my thing. So I was really excited. I was all Optimus Prime. Yeah, man, that's super cool. So if you haven't watched the trailer, watch it. It looks cool. We do got to get into the new trailer, though. Josh Hartnett took a break from Hollywood. I know the last movie that I saw from him before he took a break was, I think, Lucky Number 11.
Yeah.
And then he came back to Penny Dreadful.
Penny Dreadful,
And then he started kind of slowly coming back because he was on so many movies. The Faculty. Mm-hmm. He was on Halloween H2O. Mm-hmm. There were so many. Oh, even Sin City. You know? He's such a great actor. I really love this dude, but
yeah, I always bring up this particular film because I love it, but he was even on Othello.
Yes, he was on Othello. Oh. That's right. I remember
that. Because he was a piece of crap that did all this stuff.
But he's so good. He's such a good actor.
Yeah, great actor.
So to me, this combination of the two, M. Night Shyamalan and Josh Hartnett together in a movie, this is going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Okay, we saw the trailer. The trailer is called Trap. It's about a dad who takes his daughter to a pop concert.
Mm-hmm.
But amongst this situation, while they're watching this, cops start showing up. It looks like the SWAT team has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, they're setting a trap for a serial killer called The Butcher.
Yeah, and this is a ploy. So it's a ploy. Even the singer, like they purposely brought this person, knowing that this
person, the butcher, would be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to tell you right now.
Absolutely.
All right, because I want you to watch the trailer. And you're going to be like jaw drop by the end of this.
Absolutely, jaw drop. Yeah. And I'm excited. I'm excited for it. But as we all know, too, with Midnight Shyamalan.
Oh, yeah, man.
He makes the worst endings.
Yeah, so please don't mess up this MD.
I just wish one day, and it could be this film, and I would love it if it was this film, that he turns that around and be like, boom, gotcha. Boom.
Good ending.
Yeah, good ending. But
Although the endings on Split and Glass were pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was a good little thing. Even
Old.
It was a decent ending right there. Devil, you know.
Devil's good.
I would have wanted it to be a different direction, but I was, still content with that. And so it's just, I don't know why he does that. And everyone gets so angry, right? Because we all know that he could really make this a good thing because the whole film, right? The beginning is amazing. The middle is amazing. But the ending just never gets you. And so hopefully with this particular film, he does that. And like we said, we're not going to give you much after that because you really have to watch the trailer to be like, whoa.
Yeah,
like, because I tell you what, I was very blown by it and didn't expect anything from it. So.
So the rumors have been around for years. They've been around for years because this is one of the most iconic, most beloved sitcoms, comedies. Honestly, to me, it's Seinfeld and then it's The Office. You know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you, like, I love Seinfeld as much as I love Seinfeld. It's like they're head to head. There's an episode that I have to break it down to episodes.
Yeah.
Like this episode's better than these. You know what I mean? Because The Office was such an amazing show, so iconic. That's why to me, I'm scared. I'm afraid for the people who are going to take on this project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also afraid for those actors that are going to take on this project because I'm thinking to myself, man, they are going to be torn to pieces. If this is terrible.
When you have iconic shows like that, right? Even Friends, right? Mm-hmm. Like if they were to make a reboot of Friends, you would be like, that's not Joey, that's not Rachel, right? Like it's just a natural thing because you grew up with it in a sense.
But do you really think, I mean, in your heart of hearts, do you really think The Office needs a reboot?
So I'm an Office fan. If you people who know me, even at my job.
Yeah, super fan.
I got Office stuff for days. I could quote it. I got trivia games. I got it all. My boy Stanley, I know what he likes, his dislikes. He's a player, but he also does his job. But for me as a fan, I've always would have loved it, right? I would have, back then, if at the time when it aired, right, you're like, oh, because you had so many seasons of getting to know this cast and characters, and now you have an empty spot. It made me sad at some point. I was like, I really do. I really wish. But the older I've gotten, and especially to where the era where we're at with how shows are handled, it's kind of like watching Scrubs. I rewatch Scrubs, and I love that show. It's one of my favorite shows. But at the same time, too, I realized that comedy would not sit well in this day of era.
But that's the thing, though, right?
All right,
go ahead.
With The Office, same thing, too, because you have episodes like that diversity episode.
They're hilarious.
It's
comedy. You need to just push the boundaries a little bit.
Going back to the same thing in this newer era, right? people who know what comedy is, and that goes with a comedian, right? You cannot, if you're going to go to a comedy show, you cannot get offended at these jokes. They're meant to almost offend you, but be hilarious at the same time, in a sense. But you're always going to get those group of people that don't like it. So when you're taking a reboot of The Office, which it is actually not a reboot, and that I think that's the thing that we have to get out of our heads for a second, and they even confirmed
it's
it
too. It's a reimagining.
It's a reimagining. So it's not a reboot, you know, it's going to be set in the same universe, meaning it would likely be set in a different office setting with all new characters, which I really like that, because I think if you were to do,
because then
it'll
open the door for calling back old characters,
right? Like, how are you gonna, who's gonna cast as Dwight, right? Who's gonna cast as Michael Scott? Who's
it's a spinoff of sorts,
yeah.
Is what
and
it
I'm
is.
Sorry, Stanley. Who are you gonna cast for Stanley? Because Stanley, no other person could do.
But
Stanley
here's the
like
thing too, and I've said this before. This has already kind of been done already. So it's been done with American Idol, which
American
is really
Idol,
good. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's also been done with Abbott Elementary.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It's also been done with Superstore.
Yeah.
Superstore was amazing. I honestly think a Superstore, probably one of the best to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you got Abbott. You're like, dang, Abbott's so good at doing this too.
I love Abbott.
And honestly, I loved American Idol. I just think what happened with American Idol, because it got canceled. I think what happened with American Idol is that Abbott Elementary was happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so only one of those had to reign supreme, because it's almost like there's only enough room for one of these shows to flourish.
Yeah.
Because
it's
one,
like a mock, it was a mockumentary.
Yeah. It's a mockumentary.
Yeah.
So when Superstore it was ending, American Idol was starting, but then they started Abbott Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
So American Idol was kind of like in the middle of those, you know? And I think that's what happened where
I loved American Idol.
Yeah,
it was
funny.
Quirky, you know, especially the first episode. The first episode, you're already laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a very iconic show alone. But going back to...
Hopefully they bring him back.
Yeah, going back to The Office, so they've confirmed a couple of actors that they are going to put to this team. So you have Sabrina Impactor and Domina Hall Gleason, who's attached to this project. If you don't know who Gleason is, he recently starred in shows as Alice and Jack, The Patient, Frank of Ireland, and Run. You may have
Sabrina
seen
what?
Him. Sabrina, I will tell you right now, Impactor, I can't say her name completely.
I
already have it right here too.
Oh, I got it. Okay, because I want to see what she looks like.
Right here, in a sense.
Okay, I know who she is.
But then, if you don't know Gleason too, as well, he actually was best known for his role as General Hux in the new Star Wars film trilogy. But he starred in films such as Frank, Ex Machina, The Revenant. He is a quirky guy. I've actually seen him in a film called About Time, and it's when he's a time traveler and he falls in love with this girl, and he tries to go back in time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But every time he goes back into time, obviously it's a ripple effect.
Okay.
And it's a great romantic film. So if you're looking for a rom-com, I guess it is a rom-com, but it's very good. Definitely watch that one.
Do you think they're going to, now that I see these two, do you think they're going to do a kind of like a mix between the British version and the American version?
What, don't ever bring up the British Office.
Yeah.
The disrespect. Don't bring that to me.
But they're the originators.
They're the originators, but that was a pile of crap. Okay?
Was it? How many seasons was that?
Crap.
But that's also because it's British.
I watch a lot of British shows and did not care for that at all. So don't come at me with
you're
going to
get
that.
England coming at you, man.
I don't
care. People listen to us over
bring them out, because I'll tell you what, the super fans are going to just defend me as much as that goes. But with Sabrina, she's actually gotten an Emmy nomination too for Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Role with The White Lotus, which I've seen her in The White Lotus. She's very good. But she's also been in Napoleon and Me, Miss F, The Passion of Christ, like all these films. With her character, I feel like she'd be the one that she's like a try-hard of want people to like her, but she's going to be the professional, like, this is the rules. And so with her, and you have Gleason. Gleason is just this quirky guy. I think with his character, they can make it to where he wants people to like him, but he also like, I just want to do my job.
I just hope they don't try to like, I guess, recreate the personalities.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because it's, they're going to have to come up with their own particular personalities to be their own entity.
Yeah.
Like instead of somebody trying to be a Jim, somebody trying to be, you know what I mean, a Dwight. You know what I mean? I just don't think that.
No, and I think with these two actors that I've seen their work, like I think that if these are going to be the two main ones, I have no...
Probably be No Names, huh?
No Names. I think No Names is the way to go, right? Because it's just kind of like Superman or Batman, right? Like you're casting someone that holds a lot of power in a sense, right? In The Office, right? It holds a lot of power who you're casting and how you're going to do it. But I think with No Names, it gives them the opportunity to branch out on how to build that character. Because let's just say, right, we don't know how many seasons this is going to go, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So you're going to have to find people if you're going to make it past at least two seasons, you need cast members are going to replicate this character for people to want to keep interest in.
Right.
And especially in the realm of The Office. They are currently still working on the project. Okay. So they're still casting. They just confirmed those two casting roles in a sense. So we should know more within the next few months. Hopefully by summertime they have like a whole set out of who's going to do what and stuff. And like I said, I'm excited for it. I'm going to give it a shot. I think it made me feel a little bit more comfortable knowing that they're not rebooting, like recasting these roles. It's just like in the realm of Scranton of that era, and it could be now, right? And so the way I see it too, because some people that I talk to, they're like, well, you think they're gonna bring the old cast? I'm like, oh heck yeah,
they have to.
Every single one
if it's
of
in
them,
the same universe, like I said, it's
sorry,
happening at the
but
same
even
time.
Outside every single one of them, they are more than willing to come and showcase something. But the way I see it is like maybe a lot of them will be like a higher management, right? So I can think of Oscar, right? Oscar
I want
doing
Dwight
something
to come back.
Dwight, right? But I also think too it would be really funny is to for having Kevin like do a higher up job. They're like, how the hell did he get this job, right? He can't even do the math and he's a accountant.
It's definitely gonna happen.
Yeah,
okay, if they do that
happen.
I think it could kind of capture
so,
some of the magic.
I see it, like I could see it being a good thing. But I think it goes back to who they're casting. I think No Names is just a way to go because it just kind of eliminates the, well, this person could have done it better,
right,
like
right.
In a sense right there. So I'm excited for it. I love it. I still watch Office till the day I love it. Well, now for a question for you before we transition to the next thing, what would you feel like would be a good episode for them to play off of, especially with like this era right here?
Oh my goodness. I know this is gonna get, there's gonna tickle some feathers, but I think they really need to tackle the whole pronouns thing.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. And this is not to offend anyone, right? Like,
no,
not at all to offend anyone.
Yeah.
But if you watched Office growing up, you know that that was like, how the hell did he run this office to not get in trouble for the things they would
do?
And that would be the perfect one, right?
Yep.
And I could even see Gleason's character being like, oh crap, like I don't know how to approach this or where to go with that.
Honestly,
it'd be a good episode.
Look, and no disrespect, okay? Yeah. So don't try to cancel me, but I would honestly would like to see a character who uses a they them pronoun, but doesn't look quite like a female, but doesn't look quite like a male.
So that would be the gist of the episode, right? Like trying to figure out like where it is, you know. And like I said, these are things too, right? Like in a sense too, in the Office episodes, someone would always call them out of like, this is not right, this is why. So that person could be like, no, like this is what you should be doing. Like try to teach whole office team how that's structured and them not reciprocating what that person's trying to tell them. But that's like one episode off right off the bat. I was like, you guys have to do that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make sense to do that. And I think too, even like cancel culture.
Yes,
there has
thing.
To be an episode on cancel culture. Like something happens to where now everyone's this silver lining of, well, this is what we think and this is what we think.
And here's the thing. This is the key to this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that they do it. The key to this show is don't be afraid.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to offend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, don't be afraid to offend. It's all in jest. It's going to be comedy, but don't be afraid.
Yes.
Because that's what to me is what The Office was. They weren't afraid.
Oh, absolutely. 100% not.
It was hilarious, man. I love it. So
still work in progress. We'll give you guys an update if anything was to come, because like I said, I'm a big Office fan, so I could talk Office all day long.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to get into some more new music. Before we get into the new music, though, I guess this is a new song, too. But last episode, reference our episode, was called Sipping with Skilly Waves 2, the history of the diss record. Another diss record dropped. While we were away, you know? And it was, this time, it's Chris Brown versus Quavo.
Yeah.
And man, he says some,
pretty messed up stuff.
But I'm going to tell you like this, an R&B singer to a rapper, I was like, dang. But we've heard Chris Breezy get down. So he got bars, you know what I mean? But these bars are more lethal than, definitely, than Rick Ross diss track. Ooh, that thing's more lethal than the Kanye West diss track. You know what I mean? Drake, the Drake diss track, I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I liked it, the 50 push-ups. But I don't know how true it is, but he dropped another diss record, and it doesn't make any sense. But anyways, we won't talk about that. We're talking about right now about a new record that Chris Brown dropped, and it's a diss record towards Quavo. And I'll give you a quick little sample. Check it out.
I'll put you to bed, night, that's Sudafed. Show me that I'm tender, bitch, time to prove what you done said. R.I.P. Takeoff, he the only real one that got true respect. Crazy how when he died, everybody really wished it was you instead.
Damn.
You know, and it all started because
that's a pretty messed up line, though, right there.
A 100%. I'm sorry, but when you bring up some of my family that passed away,
I know.
That's going to hurt me. that's going to hurt me 100%. No doubt about it. Let it alone you telling me that you banged one of my gals, too, and I got to know where I got to restart thinking some stuff.
He took from a page of Tupac.
That's what absolutely, he did. He did. And it's funny because we were just saying the last week's episode, like, someone's got to give a punch. Yeah. I don't know if that punch was a little crazy
And it came from an R&B singer.
Yes, an R&B singer. But they've always had beef for quite some time, even in Crew League, which I mentioned. Chris Brown was always so prone, like he would call Quavo out.
I know what's
going
to happen to Crew League,
by
the way, because it's a Diddy thing. But he sold Revolt.
He sold Revolt. Okay, so it's not part of P. Diddy's project anymore, thank God, because I love Crew League. Crew League is fun. It's a lot of smack talking and everything.
King Combs played one of the Crew Leagues, and he won it.
Yeah.
And everybody was going like, because your daddy owns it.
Because your daddy owns it. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. No
just
doubt.
Saying,
But with Chris Brown, like, he's always called out Quavo every single time. And he's been he's never been not shameful of saying, I'm going to call you out and I don't know what his beef is. Like, I don't really know what's what it is, but Quavo's never acted upon any single time. And there's a photo that's been circulating on TikTok right now that people are making fun of because of this diss track that came out is Chris Brown and Quavo were at a fashion show and they sat next to each other and Quavo's on his phone the entire time. And people were like, it's that feeling you get when you're next to someone you don't like and you're probably on your weather app just looking at the weather from different countries right now. But with Quavo, like, he still hasn't responded even to this diss track, right? But what he says in this diss track, it's going to take a few days to process that because it hit some heartstrings that you just weren't expecting it was going to hit.
Man. I just don't think Quavo could come back harder.
Oh,
than
no.
That. I don't.
I would not think so.
All right. I got to get into a new song, though, from Year Old Droog. Year Old Droog is an underground MC, one of my favorites. Year Old Droog is famous for a song also called 40 Deuce, 42, which samples New Shoes. And this is my jam. I'm going to play it for you because if you haven't heard it, you got to remember this.
I even sold Stevie Nicks and the old rags to Fran Lebowitz. There's none of that now. We make hits like Times Square at night. I'm lit on the juice, on the floor, on the juice, on the juice, on the juice, on the floor, on the juice. 40 juice. Some clap on the 2 and the 4, others clap on the 1 and the 3. I won't judge y'all. You walking down 42nd at night, you might run into me.
I love that song right there. Well, he just dropped the track with the legend himself, Method Man, and my man Denzel Curry. This song is fire. It's called DBZ. Have you heard it?
Yes.
Ooh, let's play. Let's play it real quick. Check this out.
How you diss me and nobody knows? Check it. I'm trying to get a billion on the books. No clue how I'm selling looks. Got monster concepts and we killing hooks. You shook, all in your feelings, so stop with them grilling looks. You ain't no villain, you Dylan Brooks. Let me guess, you on your grizzly, trying to diss me.
That's boom bappy right there. I'm feeling that. That's the kind of hip hop I love right there.
Yeah.
That to me is what gets me all pumped and gets me inspired to want to write another song, which I'm supposed to be writing some music already. And I've been slacking
like
crazy.
I'm supposed to get inspired.
It's
still in progress.
I have some illest lyricist songs that are in the chamber that I need to write. I got a song that I have to write for myself. Two songs that I got to write for myself. Another song that I got to do a featured on too, man. So like, dang, I need to get writing.
I got to start doing it.
But man, I mean, these are the type of jams I like, so I'm just trying to give you guys some new music to listen to. But you just so you know that I'm not just all about hip hop all the time. I do like slow jams. And you know what, Baby Bash, I gotta give some love to Baby Bash.
100%.
For one, I love Baby Bash. I mean, for being pop rap, Chicano rap, hip hop, like it's a little mixture of everything that I really dig. And he's had some classics in the 2K that everybody loves, man. But he just started releasing these albums. It's been a bit now. But he releases these albums that feature soul-dies music. Now it's kind of like an oldies new style of music. So you know, like artists like Duran Jones and Indications, the Sacred Souls, you know, the Sinners, Joey Quiñones. There's so many, but even some of those guys are on this record, and it's called Bash Tones. But he has this one song that to me is one of my favorites, and it's dedicated to your mama. I'm gonna play it right now, just so she knows that I dedicate songs to her too. But listen to this jam till you get a chance. It's called Always.
That you feel the same.
So smooth. Yeah, so make sure you look up those albums. He has a few of them. He has, so many amazing artists.
It's a lot. Like, truly, yeah, like going back to...
The videos are fire, too.
Yeah, the videos are amazing. And actually, Lil Rob just dropped a song, too, with the music video attached to it, which was super cool.
I want
to
thank you, baby. It's called... And you know what? Let's just sample it right now. Why not? Listen.
I met a lot of women, but she's not like the rest. She's got a lot of heart and respect, and she does more things for me than I could expect. I like to thank you, baby.
Thank you
for always keeping it gangster, baby.
Baby,
and never giving up on me. I'd like to thank you, baby.
Thank you, baby, baby, baby.
For always keeping it gangster, baby.
That's what I'm talking about right there. But see, these guys I grew up around, so there's a Lil Rob, Mr. Shadow, and Mr. Lil One. And Mr. Lil One and Mr. Shadow, I used to hang out with those dudes. As a matter of fact, Mr. Shadow made me some beats. I used to freaking go to IHOP with Mr. Lil One. But hey, I just got to play. Okay, one more. And then you got to add yours. I'm going to play this one because Mr. Lil One, Lil Uno just dropped a new album. And this one happens to be one of my favorites from the album. It's called El Chicano. Let's play this one.
Much bigger than a Lolo. Much bigger than a Cholo. I got the flag on my back, so I'm never solo. Diggy suit me up, now we headed to the border. See me ride with my people, Mexicano. California sunshine, El Chicano.
My goodness, man. That's fire right there. For real.
Absolutely.
Some good jams right there for you to vibe to. That's my choice, my picks right there.
You're like, my selection.
Yeah, my selection. But you got some too that you gotta drop.
Yeah, so I love, you know, I know it's right now, TikTok's about to get banned. And it's a good thing and a bad thing. A bad thing for me is because I've found so many underground artists that I want to support.
Is it really going to get banned, though?
Honestly, we don't know, right? We don't know.
But go ahead.
We don't know. It's the government. We can't. What do you expect from the government? They could do one thing, the next day is a different thing. But the one beautiful thing with TikTok is that if I've gotten to find a lot of people that, you know, making music is hard, especially in this era where you have to have that thing of what's popular, right? To where the people who want to do it because they love to do it, they struggle even more. And so I feel like with TikTok, it's given a platform for those artists to get to where they would like to go. You have artists like Anez, who, you know, is now touring nationally, and you have like Paul Russell, who sings, you know, You're My Little Boo Thing. Yeah, now he's opening up for Meghan Trainor, and so it's a beautiful thing of what it does. But I happen to stumble across this guy that I'm like all about him now.
This guy's dope.
His name is Dear Silas, and there's a song called Out the Way that is super super dope. We'll drop it right now.
How you doing? What's your name? Never mind. Pull up on me in Atlanta. When you hear what I'm putting down, gon' get excited. Shit, your fans might need to bring a pamper. Cop a ticket, fuck it, cop FOMO. Bring your granny with her knees on swole. Shaking her thigh, figure it out. What better I would get her on my stage, watch it all unfold. Ho, ho. Pick it up, fuck that, don't put down. Line up a pot, I'm about to cook now. I took the sauce and dipped with two sporks. Came off the noodle, took it to Pound Town.
Ooh, it's so just good. Like a nice, like, you're driving.
I like this dude. He's got a good style.
Got a good style. And it's cool because I shared his video on my Instagram, and he gave it a thumbs up and stuff. And I try to find ways to support people as best as I can, right? Because working in the music industry is really difficult, especially in these times.
Mm-hmm.
But to get those people where if listening to it 10 times is going to give them a plus, like, that's what I want to do. And so that's a good song. Definitely check that one out. And then you also have, you know, I try to give a mix of a little bit of everything. If you're looking for like a dance song, which is like a party song, whatever it is, Kalani just dropped a song called After Hours.
Ooh, yeah, I love the sample on this one. Check this out.
We don't gotta take it slow. I'ma hit the gas if you're ready to go. I wanna feel the sweat breathing through your clothes. The way you touch my neck got me ready to fall. I wanna make magic. I want you to feel me.
This one was sampled back in the 2K era by Nina Sky, Elephant Man. But the one who made it the most famous is where he got like his big stardom was Pitbull with Culo.
Yeah, Culo. That, you know, as soon as I heard the beat, I reciprocated to all these songs. Mm-hmm. Like, and we even talked about too the amount of people that used it in a short period of time. Like, they use the same beat. It's just like
one day I got to drop the sample of the interview that I had with Pitbull when he came here and performed.
Yeah,
and we opened up for him, man. Cool dude. He ended up freestyling on my show.
Yeah,
it was wild. job.
Yeah, and Pitbull, even till this day, too, he's still a genuine dude, you know, getting his education, all this stuff. And so that's a good one. And then I have this one where it's like, kind of like a good rave song, but also too like this guy samples a lot from different things, but this one's called Marciano and it's by Flaco Stick, and okay. This one's really like
Un marciano sentado en el ala de un vuelo de taca que quiere entrar.
Un marciano sentado en el ala de un vuelo de taca que quiere entrar.
¿O es la sopa?
¿Qué chingallos?
¿O es la sopa de hongos que me hace ver al marciano que está sentado en el ala de un vuelo de taca que quiere entrar?
A huevo que es la sopa de hongos que me hace ver al marciano que está sentado en el ala de un vuelo de taca que quiere entrar.
So there's a Marciano trend right now on TikTok where it's this conversation between these two guys talking about Marciano. Like, what is he doing? Like, I heard that he's doing this and that. And so it's a trend right now that everyone is doing that. It's like they're carrying this conversation about Marciano. But Flaco Stick has dropped a few other things that he samples a lot of Hispanic dubs, whatever it is, whether it's conversations or beats and stuff. And so he's pretty cool. My friend introduced me to him. And so there's a little mix right there. It's a little different, but you get a good different kind of mix depending what you're feeling.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Well, there you have it. Some brand new music, some stuff to talk about around the water cooler or whatever you do. But hey, man, thanks for hanging out with us. We got more to come every week. Make sure you tune in for a new episode at 10 a.m. It drops everywhere. It streams everywhere. Find us anywhere on social media. Joey Bravo 208.
Aaliyah Marie 208.
Or Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie. Have a great week.